Hey, welcome to episode 259 of the Lunatic Files podcast. Hey, how's it going? Albert Liu here. Episode 259 on Tuesday, September 12th. Hope you're doing well. It's been a little while since the last episode. Things have changed drastically for me. Back in full-on family mode here. Recycling, eating healthy, wrestling kids, not sleeping, sore back, all that stuff. Now it's great. Just getting back into the groove here. And coming to you from the man cave, i.e. the garage, had to find a place to record this. It's actually about 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. on Tuesday evening. Put the kids to bed. Wife's doing her thing. And I got to find a nice quiet place to record this where I'm not going to be disturbing anyone. So the man cave it is, although it's not really a man cave. I've certainly had better than this. I'm literally wedged between a minivan and a dryer. So I know what you're thinking. I should just kill myself right now. We'll get through it. Actually, I was listening to Bill Burr's podcast. I've been just, you know, eating through these episodes because I just discovered it a couple weeks ago. And I don't know how many years he's been doing this thing, but it's been a while. So I'm just, you know, getting through this stuff from the beginning. And it's kind of funny to listen how shows change and how people change as well. I was listening to his Monday episode on the way back from work, and he was talking about his man cave. He was talking about how when he's hanging out with his wife, and sometimes he's, you know, not he's daydreaming while she's talking to him, and all he can think about is going back to the man cave and this, you know, bottle of whiskey that he bought. And it's pretty funny because she thinks he's engaged in the conversation, and all he's doing is dreaming about this man cave in his garage. But because I've been listening to all of the episodes, not necessarily sequentially, but going back and listening to the old ones and then going forward and listening to the new ones, it struck me that this guy's changed a little bit. Because in the early episodes, I don't know how many years ago it was, maybe 3 years ago, maybe a little bit more, the guy was definitely against marriage. He's married now. He was definitely down on marriage. And I remember one particular episode where he was mocking the married guy in his man cave in the garage. And that's not even the pathetic, you know, man cave that really isn't a man cave that I'm sitting in right now, but the real man cave, you know, with the bar signs and, you know, the kegerator and, I don't know, cars and motorcycles and stuff. He was actually smashing that stuff. And I remember the line at the time was like, this is so pathetic. You know, like you have literally been kicked out of your house and, you know, you don't have the courage it takes to stake a claim on something in the house. And I remember him just ripping on these guys with these garage man caves, which to me right now would be heaven. But now he's talking about retreating to his garage man cave and how that's sometimes all he can think about. And so I was thinking, wow, he's changed a lot. Then it made me think of myself with my old, you know, my intranational man episode last week and how much I've changed. I don't know how long you've been listening to this show, but I think I've been doing this for a while, so this maybe some of you have been listening since 2011, 2010, I don't know, long time, off and on. And back then, in fact, actually, I remember what it was. I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago, because I remember episode 3, I actually recorded in Costa Rica. We were down there with the family, and back then, I was all about expatting, getting the heck out of here, right? Starting a business, but then running it remote and, you know, while living somewhere in Central America or maybe Southeast Asia or maybe Dubai or just getting the heck out of here. I remember that was the focus. And, you know, it didn't work out. Business didn't grow quickly enough. So I ended up just staying. And here I am now in California. Just went to a federal office yesterday to renew my green card. Never thought I'd be around to see that day. Not be around, but be around here in the country still. Never thought I'd be doing that 12 years later or whatever. But that's where I am now. So I guess things change. It's very interesting. The other interesting thing was that just the whole experience at that office. I don't think it was. Well, actually, it may have been a federal office. I couldn't tell whether it was just contractors or if it was actual feds. But man, it was. I hate to say it, but it was efficient. It was bordering on pleasant. I wouldn't say it was pleasant. Anytime you got those guys with those blue gloves touching you, it's not pleasant. But it was just a fingerprinting exercise, and it went really smoothly. More smoothly than I'm used to. And the first time I went 12 years ago, it was horrible. And every time since, I've had to go in for something like this. It's been horrible. But this was really weird. You know, it was the place was in a strip mall, like a regular business. You go in, the person was greeted me immediately, served me immediately. I had an appointment. They were ready for me. I got some paperwork like you normally do when you go to a government office or anything connected to the government, like a doctor's office. You know, they give you the clipboard and the thing. So I took that, and she said, "This is your number. You can sit over here and we'll call you." So I go in there, sit down, start filling out my paperwork. It's a very simple one-page thing, just asking for your name and some, you know, like eye color and that stuff, race, gender. You know, it's funny, actually. So all these PC initiatives that the government is behind and the majority are behind for, you know, gender equality and racial equality. Yeah, and ironically, when you go to one of these offices for anything, the first thing they want to know is what's your gender and what's your race. It's just stupid. And now the list for gender is like five deep. But, you know, the simple solution is just, you know, don't ask about that stuff. But anyway, I thought that was funny. The first two questions are gender and race. And I'm going through this thing. I get through it. And so I'm just kind of, you know, sitting around waiting. And then then I hear the lady, she says 95 or something like that, and I didn't respond right away. And then I realized that, oh, I should check my number. And sure enough, it was my number. But the silly thing is that I was the only one sitting there in that room, right? You know, a normal business, they would have just said, you know, Mr. Liu, or they just would have walked over. They wouldn't have screamed out, 95. You know, it's just so weird. It was like that, I don't know if you remember that movie, Something About Mary, when Ben Stiller is waiting to board his flight and that flight attendant's giving him a hard time because they're boarding by row and his row hasn't been called yet, but he's the only guy in the damn waiting area. So he's just sitting there or standing there at the gate as she, you know, goes through rows 1 through 10, 10 through 15, 15 through 25. In an empty room until she calls his row. That's sort of how I felt. I mean, I'm just sitting there. I'm the only one there, and she screams out 95. I thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, after that, I went through, stood or sat in a different waiting room, but they got to me right away and got the prints, got the picture, and then they put a sticker on my card, and that sticker that extends my resident card until, I don't know, September of next year, is the difference between, you know, some Trump helicopters coming to my house in the middle of the night and taking me away and me just going about my regular business until the new card comes in the mail. Go figure. Oh, so lots going on in the news again. This hurricane, this second one. I don't know what's happened, but the last I read was that the Florida Keys, quote, level of destruction is unknown, but it's not looking good, which is bad. I've seen sort of the damage in the two-digit billions up substantially from what the estimates I heard originally when Harvey started. So this is going to be pretty bad. The other story that broke since I last, I think, recorded was this Equifax thing. This is horrible. Was it almost 50% of Americans affected by this security breach? Social security numbers, names, addresses, just basically everything hacked. And, you know, you do a Google search on Equifax, and this is actually a little bit funny because, you know, the Wikipedia page gets updated right away. And theirs reads, Equifax Inc. is an unsecure consumer credit reporting agency. That's insane. In September 2017, Equifax announced a cybersecurity breach, which it claims to have occurred between mid-May and July 2017. Thanks for the notice, guys, right? Where hackers accessed approximately 143 million U.S. Equifax consumers' personal data, including full names, social security numbers, birth dates, addresses, and in some cases, driver's license numbers. And now everyone wants to collect biometrics, right? So the next time there's a big hack, they're going to have our fingerprints and stuff too. Wonderful. But what a total disaster. And these guys are in the, credit protection business. Don't they offer some credit monitoring? That's crazy. Maybe just send an email to everyone now, right? You've been breached. Crazy. Yeah, that's bad. And apparently some Canadian and British residents were also compromised. Closer to home for me anyway. Disturbing headline, San Diego to power wash fecally contaminated city. Fecally contaminated. People are contracting hepatitis because of fecal contamination, I guess. And the article I saw doesn't explain why this happened. They just say person-to-person contact. This is disgusting. Fecally contaminated. That's got to be one of the worst types of contamination you can have. So they're literally bleaching the city now. Great. Saw this story on Bloomberg on one of their podcasts, Odd Lots. Title is How an Austrian Economist Explains the Tulip Bubble. This is hosted by Tracy Alloway and Joe Weisenthal. And when I see a title like this, How an Austrian Economist Explains, I think to myself first, probably heard of this guy. There's a good chance I've heard this guy, And there's a small chance that I actually know him. And so I listened to the podcast, and it was Douglas French out in Vegas talking about the tulip bubble, which was actually his thesis topic under Murray Rothbard. So he had a lot of interesting things to say. And I was actually pleasantly surprised by the amount of time they gave him and the amount of respect that they offered him and the Austrian school. So if you want to listen to Doug French, just search Bloomberg Odd Lots podcast, and you can hear him talking about the tulip bubble. And his take is that there were a lot of people who thought, yes, it was a mania, but they didn't really connect it into the Austrian business cycle theory. And what Doug did was he connected it to the influx of money. This is hard money. This was precious metals, but he connected it to essentially what's inflation in the money supply. So that's really interesting. And so I reached out to Doug and asked him if he would want to come on the podcast at some point, either this one or the work one. And he said he'd be happy to after he gets back. He's going to be traveling for the next week or so. So look forward to that coming up soon. Here's just one of these strange thoughts I had. I was watching the business news, and they were interviewing a pretty well-known money manager. And this guy was coming on to talk about a couple different companies and the markets in general, whether he thought they were, priced right. He actually thought they were priced okay. The S&P was priced okay. And he went over some of his picks. And that was great. But what I couldn't stop thinking about was this guy had sort of the worst variation you've seen of an old man comb over hairstyle. I mean, it was horrible. It was just sort of the classic thing you see on TV when they're making fun of comb overs. And it's not like I've never seen one of those before. And it's purely his business if that's the hairstyle he wants to wear. But what it made me think about is that when you're a guy like that, this guy is multi-billionaire for sure. Pretty sure. This guy's done well. And I think when you're that successful and you're the boss, there aren't many people in your life who tell you the truth. And I think this is evidence of that, because, I mean, how could he, how does this happen? You've got people around you, right? Isn't anyone telling you that, nah, you gotta, this that's not looking good, man. You gotta stop doing this. But yeah, I just, nope, just no one's there. You need one, where did I read that? Everyone needs one person around them. Every CEO needs one person around them who will tell them the truth. But you better have a lot more if you want to be successful. And yeah, I just couldn't stop thinking about that. All right, that's all I got for you today. I'll try to get back to you later on this week. Looking forward to tomorrow because I'm going to be taking an off-site team building trip, taking a couple of my guys to LA tomorrow, and we are going to take in the taping of the Conan O'Brien show, and take that opportunity to visit, you know, kind of a real Hollywood set. These are my guys who helped me make the YouTube channel, and we're gonna check out the set, and I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And I heard that Jackie Chan is going to be the guest tomorrow, which would be cool, because I remember enjoying his movies a lot back in the day. So thanks for listening. Check back for me later on this week. Have a great Wednesday and rest of the week. And until next time, take care.